Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We've heard so many reports about weddings delayed because of the pandemic, but there are just as many reports about the increase in divorce filings as a result of the pandemic. Well, for the newly divorced, dating may not be top of the list. You know the saying, once bitten, twice shy. Eventually, however, you may consider it. But what does that mean? What does it look like? Well, tonight we are talking about life after divorce, dating, and even loving again. Is it possible for you? My guests are Dr. Robert Evans, licensed clinical professional counselor and author of Run to the Pain, and Dr. Gail Crowder, marriage and relationship expert. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Evans, Dr. Crowder, thank you both for joining the conversation.
Thank you so much for having us.
So we often hear about the struggles of dating and finding a good mate for single people, but for a lot of people, this isn't their first rodeo. And you know, they may or may not want to consider dating. And if they even get out there, I'll tell you, I have a lot of divorced friends who do not like this dating process. Dr. Crowder,
yes.
When should you start thinking about dating again after a divorce?
After you are fully healed, after you have sought some counseling and some coaching, after you understand what led to the breakup of the divorce in the first place. So many people want to run and start dating again and, you know, lose all the weight, and they do a lot of the surface things. But until you do the internal work, that's where true change comes. And that's where you open yourself up not to make the same mistakes again.
But isn't
a lot
that,
of times?
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
A lot of times, I know in my practice that so many women want to get back out because we don't want to be lonely. We want to satisfy the flesh. We want to be a part of a group to say I'm dating a man or I'm dating a woman, right? But at the end of the day, if you don't settle within yourself and you don't do the internal work. Yes, a lot of times we go and get, you know, new haircuts, new weaves, we lose weight. We do all of the things that, you know, surface to make ourselves attractive, but we still are carrying the old baggage. And that is one of the things that I'm on a mission to make sure that people do before they get into another relationship.
But you said, you spoke about the healing process. It's always been my understanding that the healing process never really ends. It is a perpetual process. Is that, do you agree with that? And is there a time in which you can dip your toe in the water even as you are moving through that process?
Absolutely. You're correct that healing takes a long time, and it just depends also on how much trauma and baggage you're bringing into another relationship. A lot of times when people are in counseling or coaching and those kind of things, you're able to pinpoint where the previous relationship went wrong. But sometimes it's layers. Sometimes it comes from childhood trauma that you experience as a child. Those things are a little bit deeper, and those things, you know, you need to, it's a longer process. But if you didn't have childhood trauma and all, you know, maybe family trauma, all of these different kind of traumas and things that, you know, shape you as a person going into a relationship, right? You know, some people have, you know, fatherhood abandonment. Some people have, you know, a motherhood abandonment. It just kind of depends, you know, each person is individual. And we all have faced some kind of trauma in our life. So let's be honest with that. but it just depends on how deep it is and how much therapy that the person needs in order for them to be able to move forward.
And I
don't think that you should stay single forever because you have faced some kind of trauma, but I also think that you should do some kind of work to get yourself in a better place to be able to handle it and not put the other person in a predicament where they have to try to be your everything because you didn't get that from the last, relationship and those kind of things as well.
I don't want to get too far afield because I really want to stick to life after divorce, not mm-hmm. the childhood, not what your mother did and what your daddy did or mm-hmm. didn't do. I really do want to stick to life after divorce. But Dr. Evans, you did it. You're divorced and now you're remarried. How did you know you were ready? Or were you just swept off your feet by the woman you're married to now?
Well, you know, I think that it, in the my co-host here, co-guest, she hit everything, you know, on the head. It really is about the self-work that needs to be done. And I had to do the work, you know, so there was a period of separation and, you know, before meeting my new wife. So, you know, there was a period where I had to do my own self-internal work to find out, okay, what mistakes did I make? Where did I go wrong? And people, when they're quickly wanting to look for someone else new without looking at, okay, what did I do? What did I need to fix? That's when they make the mistake, you know. So I spent a lot of time helping people to really spend time with themselves before looking for something else, because that's when you're actually going to find the person that that's for you, is when you are in your self-work.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about dating and even finding love after divorce. Is that something that you would consider? Are you having a rough time out there? Or indeed, have you done it? Give me a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So Dr. Evans, you spoke about doing the work. What does that specifically mean? I mean, that's the catchphrase for mental health and emotional wellness these days. But let's talk a little bit more about what that work looks like for a man. In your case.
So, you know, it really is about self-awareness. When I'm speaking about work, I'm speaking about self-awareness. It's all about your awareness of what you like, what you love, what you don't like, what you don't love, you know, what is going to go into the decisions that you make. What all of those things that was previously said about, you know, it really is what you come to the table with. It's your experience. It's how you were raised. It's what you, you know, all the relationship that you bring to the table. All of that goes into how you make decisions. And you got to be aware of all those things. How do you sort through your emotions? Mm. How do you deal with your anger? You know, all of these things you have to be aware of, because if you're unaware and you're responding to things that's going on with your partner, you and your partner are trying to sort these things out in real time when you should already know what's going on going into the decisions that you're making.
Let's go to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about life, dating, and even loving after divorce. Denise, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Denise. What's on your mind?
Yes, I agree everything on what hosts are saying, but I am dating after a divorce. And, you know, the self-healing I did, the self-help I did, and I also used my church and my church family to help me. But it also taught me that sometimes you pick the wrong person and you don't keep yourself in this spot. Well, oh, this is a terrible thing. I had a divorce. Maybe you picked the wrong person. So what I did, I went out dating and it actually helped me. It built my self-esteem. It actually helped me. Now in love, I'm careful with that, but I am dating after divorce.
How long after your divorce did you start dating Denise?
Actually, oh, well.
Tell the truth.
About 6 months.
Okay.
About 6 months.
Tell
about
the truth.
About 6 months, yes. You know, but my divorce was kind of, I mean, you know, I got hurt by this gentleman that was in the street and on Facebook and everything. And so I did experience the hurt and all. But I did get the help, and I did get help with God, and I prayed, and my church family and friends and people who might have been through something similar. You know, I'm the person that just, I don't mind talking about it or getting it out, trying to find, and, you know, I don't mind. You know, I'm not one of them secret people. Oh, I ain't going to tell my business, but,
okay.
You know, but it helped.
Well, Denise, thank you, and good luck to you. Thank you for your phone call. 202 319-7810, 202-319-7810, life, dating, and love after divorce. How's that working for you? Elliot, calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Thanks for calling, Elliot. What's on your mind?
Hey, thank you so much, Mr. Fisher.
Sure.
I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to say, absolutely, I just wanted to say life, love, and dating after divorce, it can be challenging to navigate because I think, especially if you're seasoned, if you will, it's a little bit more different because you have your mindset, you have, you know, for lack of a better word, you're stuck in your ways, and you have to break the cycle and get out of your own way. I think love and dating is absolutely possible, but the biggest obstacle to that is yourself. You have to get out of your own way, be open to what's new, what's fresh. And then sometimes you just have to say, you know what, this looks a lot like where I've been.
Mm.
So you got to trust yourself and say, you know what, if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, then I'm not going to give opportunity for it to crack at me. I'm just going to say, okay, maybe my post-traumatic syndrome is kicking in, but I got to go.
Okay. All right. Well, Elliot, some good advice. I personally like, I like duck. I like duck a l'orange. Elliot, thank you so much. Dr. Crowder, let's talk about what you should not do once you get out there.
What you should not do is send your representative, right?
What do you mean by
that?
You
know, because so many people put on airs, and just like your last caller said, that a lot of times people put on, you know, airs. Sometimes they are not themselves. They have warped into someone else that they find that are dating more than them. They know how to say the right things. They've taken on their personality and their persona. But when you show up, right, you can only fake it so long. And it goes along. I help a lot of my clients set up their online profiles because a lot of people are dating a lot online. Let me just say this. If you're on an online app, get on an app that you actually have to pay for. Because that is where some more quality people are. These free apps, a lot of times, it's a bunch of nonsense and shenanigans. Not saying that online dating, you know, for the free ones, you can't find one. And not saying that the people who are paying, they're not playing games at all. But when you're investing in something, you're a little bit more serious.
Hmm.
So I always tell people, make sure that you put what is most important to you on these online things at the very top, not at the end. Because people are only going to read the first couple of lines. If you are a woman of God or a man of God looking for a godly person, looking for somebody who's physically fit, all of those kind of things, put that at the top, not at the bottom.
Mm, okay.
And so many people do that. And so when they get to talking and they find out that the person is not godly or there, whatever. It was way down at the bottom. Nobody scrolled on the bottom. And actually take 100% shots of how you actually look today. A lot of times people are putting these pictures of them, these glamour shots or whatever, and when you show up for the dates or you do a Zoom call, you don't look anything like that. So, you put your representatives up on these online dating things. And it happens in person as well. And so for me, my thing is be 100% honest and open. if you are a more mature person, tell the person that you have children. Tell the person that you've been divorced how many ever times you've been divorced. Tell the person, I'm only looking for a companion that we can go out on dates, go to concerts or whatever. Tell the person if you are, you know, withholding, you know, abstaining from sex. Tell the person all of those things, because at the end of the day, if they want to learn more, if they're interested in you, they will continue. But when you send a representative and you're like, oh yeah, I'm open to this. Oh yeah, I do this. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. And 6 months down the line, when you really didn't want that and that representative is tired, then you have let that person and wasted time.
Yeah, how about that? Hold on. I'm going to let you finish your point, Dr. Crowder, because I've got to take a break. But Derek, who is on the line from Maryland, don't hang up. We're going to talk to you. Also, Terev, calling from Odessa, Texas. We're going to talk to you as well, so please don't hang up. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Life, dating, and love after divorce. How's that working for you? Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. This discussion continues in a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we continue our conversation about life, dating, and love after divorce. Can it happen for you? Or maybe you're just saying, oh, the heck with it, I'm done. My guests are Dr. Robert Evans, licensed clinical professional counselor and author of Run to the Pain, and Dr. Gail Crowder, marriage and relationship expert. You can tweet me at H. Fisher, WHUR, or follow me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. You were talking, Dr. Crowder, about what you should not do, and you were specifically talking about, you know, those dating apps. I will tell you that, you know, I've never done it, but I do know that, you know, a lot of my single friends post-divorce, they're on a lot of them, and a lot of them say everybody's on everyone. I mean, you see some of the same people on the same apps. What does that tell you?
It just tells you that a lot of people are not focused, and they're trying to, you know, cast their net in a wider, you know, wider field, and it's okay to do that. But I say, most of the time I tell my clients not to be on more than just two apps, two paid apps that are quality and that will net you what you really want. Because when you see people on multiple ones, that lets you know that they are just trying to find whatever they want for that day, for that moment. Not everybody's doing that, but when you're really, really serious, you're very focused. You're very focused about what you want. You're very clear about what you want.
Okay. Back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Derek, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Derek. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I like to say that women at times, they look at men for the valuable things that they have that they work so hard for, and they don't look at a man for who he is. They sometimes won't even give you an opportunity to get to know you. They might look at you sometimes and say, nah. But then they might see another guy that's more flashier and say, yeah, to him. And I think that that's bad because, you know, women, they looking at people for the wrong reasons. You know, like me, I have God in my life. I live productive in society, and I know how to treat a woman. And so, you know, they don't even know that much about you because they're not even willing to give you the opportunity to see where you staying at with them. But, you know, they are material things, man. And if you ain't got no money for these women out here, you ain't got no nice car, you ain't got no nice house, they not dealing with you, man. These women out here are looking for a come up. They struggling. You know, they don't know the real factors of life. You know, they probably was there at one point in their life. But, you know, as you move forward in your life as into an adult, you know, you're supposed to be able to work hard and strive for excellence like the next person.
Well, Derek, let me see what Dr. Evans has to say about that. Dr. Evans, your thoughts about what Derek is sharing with us.
You know, interesting what Derek is bringing up. It sounds like he's saying that people are superficial and now they're not looking beyond, you know, his appearance, maybe his pockets, his wallet, to see what he really has to bring to the table. You know, and what I would say to that, Derek, is to just keep doing what you're doing. Sound like a good guy, good-hearted person. Get into what you're passionate about. Get into what your talents are. Dive into those things, and you'll find like-minded women in those areas. And that's when you will find a person for you. So whatever, you know, don't go looking for somebody. I tell people, when you go looking for somebody, you know, that's really not the trick. The trick is to just be in your sweet spot. So
God controlled my destiny.
Okay, but to his point, you know, Derek, and I think, you know, you mentioned your faith twice, so I think so you may be able to understand this phrase. You know, the good book says separate the wheat from the chaff. Yeah. And so maybe you've been meeting, you know, a lot of, you know, women in the chaff and haven't been able to separate, you know, the wheat. And quite possibly, you know, once you get an inkling that these may be, you know, gold diggers, or they may only be interested in aesthetics instead of, as I like to say, who you are naked. And I don't mean without clothes, but I mean the person you are. You know, if they're not really willing to go there, then don't waste your time or your money. Something to think about. Derek, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Terev, calling from Odessa, Texas. Thanks for calling, Terev. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Sure.
One thing, when it comes to marriage often is, we have to keep it in a spiritual context, because that was a covenant between God and what two men, what actually a man and woman would agree in. And doing that, dating is for the purpose of oftentimes getting into marriage. So typically dating will give us that opportunity to learn ourselves and learn others and being able to put it in within a spiritual context. And at times when you've been, my experience coming from a divorce, putting God into it is so important. Understanding the moral ethics and the moral standard that it takes gives me an opportunity to find someone who is going to be compatible, not only spiritual, but not just after the flesh. Because what's not learned, we repeat. What's not learned, we earn. We have to go through the heartaches, and we go back into the same thing that we left the first time without any kind of spiritual adjustment. So that's why, you know, God wants us to put him first in everything we do.
Terry, let me stop you there. That may work for you, but let's keep it real and being honest. Not everybody believes that. There are a whole lot of people who may be spiritual people of deep faith, and they come out of a divorce. They are not hearing what you're saying. They want, you know, they may not be dating with a purpose. They may not be, you know, gold diggers, men or women, but they just want some fun. They want some companionship. And I think we need to be really honest about that, because not everybody coming out of a divorce is ready to date with a purpose and try to get married again.
Oh, true. Absolutely. And I'm not saying that as a blanket statement, but when we date, as long as you understand and we understand the context in which we're dating, sure, that's perfect. It's perfectly fine. But again, what we don't learn will repeat again, and oftentimes it moves us into positions where we have compromised a few of the standards or compromised what we deal with. Even being honest, we're going to find ourselves repeating it if we don't learn it. Mm. And if that's what you want to do, you'll do it.
Okay.
We do what we willfully do.
All right. Well, Terev, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Dr. Crowder, what do you think about what Terev was just sharing?
Well, it goes back to what I said about being open and honest, what you want out of the relationship, right? And that's basically what he was saying. If you are a spiritual man looking for a spiritual woman, then just be open and honest. And if you are looking to get married, you know, you need to have those discussions up front. Some people, like you said, are just coming out of a divorce, and they're really looking just to, for companionship, have a great time, you know, no strings attached, no, you know, pressure, those kind of things, which if that's what you're looking for, you definitely need to state those things and be open and honest, right? Because you're not going to work out with somebody that's looking to get married and have babies or whatever, right? So you need to allow that person to be able to state what they want as well in the relationship. And if you can meet somewhere in the middle and you both have mutual goals when it comes to this dating life, then that will work out for you. But if you don't, you need to be open and honest. And so many people are not open and honest because they're trying to nail that person and thinking that they can change them to either go their way, and that other person is probably thinking they can change them to go their way. And it just doesn't work out. And like I said, you can date other people, but time is something you can never get back.
Mm.
And I want to stress that. And then the other young man that called in, and he was talking about how women don't give, you know, basically ordinary men a chance. I always try to coach my single women and men to be open to not what's shiny in front of them, because the person that God might have for them might not fit the packaging. It might not have the title. It might not drive the car. It might not have the education, but that person is going to treat you the way you want to be treated. They're going to meet your needs, your wants and desires. And that's what most people are in relationships for.
Yeah, I would imagine sometimes you get surprised by something new that you never considered before. Dr. Crowder.
Yes.
That's definitive.
Yeah.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tawanda calling from Winchester, Virginia. Tawanda, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to touch on everything that you guys are talking about. I've been there. So I've been married. I was married once, and getting out of a divorce was crazy because it was basically like I was, you know, I had adapted to him. He was the only one that I knew. So when I got out of marriage, it felt like, oh, well, you know, I had to kick my, you know, get out of the mode of, you know, not being used to him, but actually get back into the mode of like renewing myself.
Oh.
Because I felt like it was all, his world was my world. So I had to renew myself. I had to look at myself and say, okay, well, I'm not married anymore. I have to get back into the groove of, you know, the world, doing things on my own, you know, taking care of my kids and doing what I needed to do to maintain. So once I did that, I also looked inner, like, what was my problem? Why didn't my marriage work? What stopped me from, you know, continuing on with my relationship?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, he had flaws, but I also had flaws too. But
no, not you.
Yes, me. I basically just looked at myself. I took a long time, and like I've been divorced for about a year, and I took a long time emotionally because it was, you know, I was stressed, I was depressed.
So Tawanda, let me stop you real quick because we've got some other calls to take. You said you've been divorced for about a year. Have you started dating yet?
Yes, I've started dating. And actually, when the doctor was talking about like online dating, and she's correct, because when I went online, I basically said, I'm a single mom, I work 7 days a week, I'm not looking for a relationship, and I just want, you know, to build a relationship and chat with different people. I'm not actually looking to date because I'm looking to grow myself.
Okay.
Look at myself and see where I had to grow. So now I'm in the process of signing up for school and things like that. But the online dating is not that bad. Yes, there's a lot of scammers out there, but it is some good men out there that I personally have, you know, chatted with and things like that. And they're also looking for a relationship and things like that. But at the beginning, I let them know, you know, I'm not looking for a relationship. I'm just looking to chat. So
I'm
just flat, to the point, honest. If they ask me a question, I'm completely honest, because I feel like people nowadays want to shoot a post game. And I'm not
going to
do that.
Okay. Well, Tawanda, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. Greg, calling from Columbia. Thanks for calling, Greg. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold. Thanks for having me. How are you today?
I'm good. Thanks.
Great. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I am a divorcee. I've been divorced for 9 years, and I have to say it was probably the best thing that happened to me, getting divorced, because I think there may have been a little bit of codependency going on, very toxic relationship I was finally able to get out of. But more importantly, what I learned, and just talking with other men who have been through similar situations to my own, is that marriage is not worth being in to begin with. And from a man's standpoint, a male standpoint, you really don't get anything out of it. You're always asked to bring resources and provide and protect. And when it comes to reciprocity from your mate, you don't get it. So the only one who's really benefiting from the marriage would be the woman. So I've been happily single, been able to bring myself up, improve myself, put myself through school. I make loads of money now, and I don't even bother dating.
Not loads. Not loads, though.
Oh, yeah. I would say I make almost 3 times more now since I've gotten divorced.
So hold on. So hold on for a minute, Greg, because you've mentioned a couple of things. And first, I want to ask you: are you dating?
No, I don't do that either.
Okay, so here's the thing, Dr. Evans, and I'm so glad that Greg called, because he brings up an issue, and I want you, Dr. Crowder, to chime in on this as well. Coming out of a divorce, or even for men who have not been married. And gosh, Greg just really put a fine point on this. A lot of men are asking themselves, you know, what is the benefit of marriage, particularly if they are doing fine now? And if they say, well, if I'm doing well now, I'm making, as Greg said, loads of money. And, you know, I've gotten my education. He sounds to be, you know, emotionally grounded to me. He sounds like a great guy. But, you know, he may be saying, well, okay, so what do I need with you? You know, what do you tell people who are advocates of, you know, marriage, for example, Dr. Evans? And you have the Gregs of the world who are saying, yeah, miss me with that.
Wow. You know, I think I'm so glad Greg called in, because I'm sure there's other people who feel the same way. Like, what's the benefit of it? And to me, being remarried is the best thing that I could have done. And, you know, I agree, Greg. You know, I'm sure I could make loads of money single, but I believe I'm making more married. And I think that marriage is the biggest mirror that you're going to ever see. Marriage is a reflection of you. It's going to show you all of your flaws. It's going to show you everything you need to work on. And it could be that you're running away from that. And so I would say, if you want to challenge yourself, because it's really about your willingness to say, you know what, how much do I want to improve me? How much do I want to say, okay, because you can't see you better than somebody else. Somebody's going to see you and be able to see some things that you don't see. And when somebody next to you, they see how you breathe at night. You can't
Can I rebut that, Harold, at all?
Yeah, sure. Go right ahead, and then I want to hear from Dr. Crowder.
Absolutely. Yeah, just to rebut what you're saying, I don't think you need to have a person in your relationship, be in a relationship or have a person in your life, to self-reflect. What you're advocating for is codependency. And I learned long ago that to being codependent on someone hinders you. You know, being in a healthy relationship, whatever that may look like, pretends that each person is bringing 100% of their whole self to the relationship, and they are self-actualized individuals. But what you're advocating for, and I totally disagree with, is that you need to have another person in your life, especially in the form of a marriage, in order to self-improve. I totally disagree with that, and I think that's an unhealthy message to send the men.
I think you misinterpreted what I said, brother. I believe we're saying almost the same thing. I agree with you. We're supposed to come to the marriage 100% whole, and we're supposed to be that. And marriage is a choice, and we're talking about a choice to be with someone, right? So we're choosing it. I don't have to be married. I'm not dependent on my wife. I'm choosing to be with my wife, right? So what I'm referring to is
making that choice is going to help you to develop yourself quicker than you can develop yourself on your own.
Okay. And Dr. Crowder, your thoughts about what Greg is sharing with us?
Well, I don't know Greg, but just listening to what Greg said, I totally agree with Dr. Evans on all his points. But I do want to say this. I think that just listening to what Greg had said, I think that he got out of a marriage that was very toxic. I don't know, and he didn't state that he's done the work to heal from that. So I think he still has some wounds from the marriage. And we're not saying that you should go get married if that's what you don't choose to do. But I do think that you should be in a healthy relationship where you have companionship and where it is a give and take thing. Yes, you are highly successful. Congratulations on that. But like, you know, Dr. Evans says that someone else can help you see what you don't see. And a lot of times when you're in a healthy relationship, and I would say for you to get a woman that is on your same level, that brings the same kind of tenacity to the relationship, but also is able to add to you as you grow together. And I'm not saying that you have to get married, be 100% honest with her and tell her you don't want to lead to marriage. You want to lead to companionship, right? And there's a lot of women that are able to do that. So I don't think you should close yourself off from having a lifelong partner that you can grow with and that you can have life experiences with, because there's nothing like having a woman, a person of the opposite sex to help, you know, facilitate you having such a full life.
Well, Greg, good luck to you. And, you know, you just never know. You've been okay for the past 9 years. And you never know who will slide into your DMs tomorrow. So, Greg, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So here's a really important dating question, Dr. Crowder, and certainly Dr. Evans, you're welcome to chime in. When you get to the point where you are talking to someone, and let's say that first date, how much should you tell someone about why your marriage broke up if you are asked? Because you spoke about being, you know, honest, being, you know, transparent. Some people don't want to discuss it. Some people may want to respect the boundaries of that past marriage. You know, how do you address that, Dr. Crowder?
Well, the first date to me needs to be for coffee. It needs to be for coffee. It shouldn't be dinner and a movie. It shouldn't be any of those things. It should be for coffee. And the reason why I say it should be for coffee, because that is the time where you're in a much quieter place. And you want to be open and honest because, again, the person, you know, you've obviously been talking on the phone or through Zoom or however you've been talking. And my thoughts are is if they ask you what happened in your marriage, you need to be open and honest as much as possible. I'm not saying go blow by blow, but what I'm saying is be honest so that person can understand your mindset and where you are in, you know, your healing process and all those kind of things. Because if that person said, well, in the past, I did this, and that mirror images the person, you know, why you left the first situation, then again, why go ahead with that? Because they think that's okay. And that was the reason why their last relationship failed as well. And so they're not going to change their spots for you. They're not going to change their behavior for you, right? Unless they have done the work internally and said, you know, I realized that was the reason why I broke up. You know, the last relationship broke up. I'm not saying that you need to just pour your heart out on the first date, but I also do think that you shouldn't hide that, you know, your pains and what, you know, what made that last relationship break up. I think you should be open and honest as much as possible.
Dr. Evans?
Yeah, I believe in full transparency. I agree, you know, if it's a first date, of course it should be, you know, like she said, coffee, but if the question is asked, then I believe be 100% honest, you know, and that's going to really reveal your level of self-awareness. I think that was something that really helped for me to make a decision when it came to remarrying, because I didn't think it was going to happen, at least anytime soon. But
when I ask the key questions, I wanted to know, what are your flaws? What's the crust? What's the stuff you don't want me to know? And I want to see how you're going to answer that. I want to know, what is it that you keep in a secret that is messed up about you? I want to know all the junk. And she was able to give it to me. I need a list. She was able to give me a list, mm-hmm. but then I want to know, what is your willingness to correct it? So what's your plan to correct those things? And she was able to give me that. But if she couldn't have given me either one of those, it would have been a wrap. Right?
So, Dr. Evans, you bring up a really important issue. And I've heard a lot of guys complain about this. They feel that they are being interviewed when they go out on dates, you know, with women. What is the difference between feeling as if you're being interviewed and someone just asking questions because you want to know? Is that the distinction without a difference? Are men just a little too defensive when a woman asks a lot of questions, or vice versa? Talk to me about that.
I encourage people to go with their own questions, but you need to have your own answers. So to me, that tells me this person hasn't done enough self-work to know the answers to those questions. You should have the answers before you ask them, right? So when you're going to meet with someone, that lets me know how serious you are about what it is you're getting into. If you're just dating and you're just casual and, you know, we're not trying to do anything serious, and you may not have this, you may not have your questions, right? But if you're trying to get into something serious with somebody, then you need to show up with your own question, but you need to have all of the answers to those questions first. So if they're asked to you, you have those answers. So if you don't have those answers, then you're showing up and you're shortchanged.
Dr. Crowder, your thoughts about the questions versus interviews? Because I personally think that these things kind of come up in what is, I don't know, this may be an antiquated term. I don't know. I call it conversation.
I totally agree with Dr. Evans. And the thing is, again, remember I talked about that representative showing up. If you have really done the work and you really are looking towards a committed relationship, you should be open and honest and have your questions and be able to answer their questions. Because, again, you're looking for a partner in this. You're not playing games. So I totally agree with Dr. Evans. And a lot of times when men or women feel like they went on an interview, it's because they were not prepared because they have not done the work.
But think about this. When you're trying to get a loan from a bank, if you're trying to get a house, if you're trying, you go through a vetting process, right? They ask you for everything. Now, I'm going to be in a committed relationship with you, possibly intimate with you, and I'm not going to ask questions. I need to know everything. So, you know, I think the vetting process is something that people is just really underrated.
You know, I think, as I was saying, conversation, I don't agree with 20 questions, but I do agree that you can ask 20 questions during the course of a conversation. And maybe sometimes it's about tone and style.
Absolutely. You know, when I do an assessment evaluation, I don't have to ask you a question as if, you know, you feel like you're being quizzed. We're going to just have a conversation. I'm going to get all of my questions answered.
Dr.
It's not like you're going to say question number one.
Right. Question number one.
It's not going to be like three. That. You know, it could be like, you know, hey, you know, I know you was married or whatever. What do you think happened in the relationship? What do you think happened in the marriage? You know, that's a way to be in a conversation. Ask your question. You're not going to say question number one, question number two. Right. That's when people feel like they're on an interview. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it's all, like you said, it's all about style. It's all about delivery. And it's also all about how comfortable that person is within themselves.
One final issue, and this is for, you know, Dr. Evans, because, you know, we have a lot of, one of our callers talked about being set in his ways and what have you, but certainly the other piece of that is when you come out of a divorce and you realize that there are things that your partner did and things that you've done, how do you balance evolving into a better person and as well as dealing with things that have to do with you that are set, as you say, as it can be said, set in your own ways. You know, how can you evolve and still be yourself?
Well, I think that's a great question, because what it suggests is that people just are unaware that they can change. They don't have to be set in their ways, so to speak. That's a choice. I don't care how old you are. If you want to make a change about your personality, about who you are, about your attitude, about how you respond to things, you absolutely can. So you have to want to change those things. So I think it's really about your desire to improve you. Now, if you know you're struggling with some things, then indicate that, hey, this is what I'm working on. These are the areas that I need to work on. And this is what I'm doing to work on those things. And you give a person the option to deal with that or not.
Okay. I think that's a good place to end this conversation. You know, Dr. Robert Evans and Dr. Gail Crowder, thank you both for talking to us. I hope that we were able to help someone navigate the tricky, sticky world of post-divorce life, dating, and love. Again, thank you both so very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That is The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, June 11th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.